In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our gospel reading today is from the vigil, or the early service of Easter, one of the first gospels read every Resurrection Sunday. And it's a little surprising because it might not measure up to the bright flowers and treats that we associate with Easter. Instead, our gospel lesson holds in it a little too much mystery, a little too many unanswered questions. Now, for we who have heard this story before, we know that the ending holds a tremendous promise of joy. But we may not yet remember how we get there. And so in our gospel reading, we accompany the women to the tomb, and there we find a surprise, right? It's not what we expected to see. It's empty. It's desolate. The body of Jesus is missing. And suddenly, two strange men show up and start reminding us of Jesus' words. And the women are surprised because they had heard those words before, but they couldn't imagine that this is what they meant. They couldn't have imagined that this was how it was going to turn out, but now they see with their own eyes. And so the women hurry back and they tell the other disciples of Jesus, even though they themselves are still not sure what it all means. That is when we learn in our gospel reading that sexism is nothing new. The women were not believed. Just as the women had not understood Jesus' words before they saw, so when they brought back these words, the other disciples could not grasp them. And even those who saw couldn't grasp the enormity of what it meant. It would take time. The Christian church has struggled ever since then to remember and to understand what the empty tomb is all about. And so St. Paul begins to describe some early wrestling with that truth in his epistle today, when he tells us that Jesus Christ will destroy every ruler and every authority and every power, and that the last enemy to be destroyed is death. This is one meaning of the empty tomb. And when St. Paul writes about rulers and authorities and powers, he is explicitly referring to the political rulers, for sure. And more than that, Jesus will rule over every power, every pretender who is not God. But this refers to more than just the political powers. This refers to other forces, other powers, other authorities and influences at work in our lives. St. Paul is referring to our struggles with other people, right? With conflicts, with people around us who lack healthy boundaries, with those with whom we don't see eye to eye. St. Paul is talking about other forces that influence our lives, forces like a demanding job or a difficult bureaucracy or bills or debt that we can't see our way past. Whatever it is, whoever it is that has you tied up in knots, whoever has you worried or afraid or otherwise anxious, Jesus came to free you from all of this. And out of all of these, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Who's not worried about death? And yet Christians, as we pass through a life of faith, we learn to not be afraid even of death. On the contrary, we have this very curious calling in our collect today. Right, the prayer that we began our service with, we prayed to God, God, grant us so to die. God, grant us so to die daily to sin. that we may evermore live with our Lord Jesus Christ in the joy of his resurrection. As Christians, we learn to die daily so that we can live forever. Christian living means submission to the reign of Christ in our lives. It means, in part, giving over ourselves, giving over our lives to God. It means letting go of our own will when that comes into conflict with what Christ teaches us. It means trusting that decisions that we make as Christ leads us are the right way. Christian living also means having confidence that Christ reigns not only in our hearts, but Christ reigns over everything else around us. Every situation we encounter, every circumstance, even right down to the day of our dying, Christ is sovereign. And what that means is that we are free. We are free not to control everything. We are free to not always know. We are free to not always be right. We are free to trust that Jesus is good, that Jesus loves us, that Jesus is even now disarming every other power. And so on Easter morning, first thing, early, the women found an empty tomb. And with that empty tomb, they found a promise. It's a promise that is not always easy to understand or to receive. It takes time. Today you have come to church. Maybe today you are experiencing the resurrection in all its glory, in which case we say hallelujah. Or maybe today in your life you have found this curious thing, this empty tomb. An open space. And that's okay, because that is Jesus' invitation to you. That's Jesus' promise to you. The worst thing that life had to offer happened to Jesus, and Jesus was not overcome. The worst thing that your life has to offer to you will not overcome Jesus either. So when you are found in Jesus, you are able to rest secure, knowing that you will not be overcome. The church's Easter invitation to you is that you might practice dying daily to sin, in order that you may evermore live with Jesus in the joy of the resurrection. Amen.
Amen.